The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 3rd through Sunday, March 9th, 2025. The commentary for March was written by Tyler Richards, an Episcopal priest serving at St. Anne's Episcopal Church in De Pere, Wisconsin. He's also an avid birder, vocalist, and gardener. He enjoys spending free time with his wife and his beautiful daughters, usually somewhere in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The commentary for Monday, March 3rd, begins with a passage from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. The Lord your God you shall fear him. Him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are all around you. Here's the commentary. Have you ever loved another person so much that it terrified you? The irrational love we can have for a spouse, a partner, or a child can be so intense and overwhelming that it might make us feel justifiably frightened. If this is a fraction of how deeply God loves us, it's no wonder that love might seem frightening. Scripture teaches us that God has created us for God alone and no other. God's love, desire, and passion for us are fiercer than any fire and burn hotter than any human affection. The closest word we can get to this is jealousy, as complex as that might be. God wants us so much that there can be no rivals. And why should we desire anything more than a God willing to do all that Jesus Christ has done for us? And now I'm going to read the full passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Lord your God, you shall fear him. Him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are all around you, because the Lord your God who is present with you is a jealous God. The anger of the Lord your God would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you from the face of the earth. And the moving forward suggestion for this Monday, March 3rd, reflect on the greatest love that you've ever had. The commentary for Tuesday, March 4th, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3a. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Being attentive at all times has often been a struggle for me. While I don't have an ADHD or ADD diagnosis, I do find my attention wandering from thing to thing pretty frequently. Dwindling attention spans are another marker of our time. As the average adult's attention span clocks in at about 8.25 seconds, this means some of you will stop reading about now. I love the moment inside the Eucharistic prayers when the Sanctus bells sound. The ringing acts as a splash of water to our otherwise distracted minds, snapping us back to attend to the mystery. The bells ask us if we are paying attention. I hope that we are. I hope I am always attentive to the varied mysteries constantly passing before my eyes. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first through the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The moving forward statement for this Tuesday: take time away from digital distractions today and watch for God. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, March 5th, which of course this year is Ash Wednesday. It begins with a passage from the book of Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. Growing up in the American South, I know something about trumpets or sirens. Severe weather being what it is in that part of the country, the intonation of a tornado siren or the tone of a weather radio becomes a part of your psyche. You know that it is time to stop and listen. Ash Wednesday is the day we stop, like a trumpet or alarm. This is a time to put aside our daily routine and focus on God's call, which is always for us to return. This return is facilitated by seeing where we went astray in the first place. Just as our weather radios and tornado sirens prompt us to pay attention and seek shelter, the prophet Isaiah reminds us that our shelter is found in God. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. And I'm going to read from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and also verses 12 through 17. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. There, like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, "Spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, 'Where is their God?'" And the moving forward question for Ash Wednesday, Wednesday, March 5th, how will you heed the alarm to stop and to listen to God? The commentary for Thursday, March 6th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Here's the commentary. "Growing up in a small town, I was known by sight. Invariably, one of the more venerable community members would see me and say, 'I know who you are. You're Louise Clayton's grandson.' As an introvert, I always found those encounters unsettling, however lovely it was to be known for who I was before I introduced myself. We know Jesus when we see him, too. We understand what represents the kingdom of God and what isn't. It's almost instinctual for the practiced believer. We can smell a fraud from a mile away and spot the genuine article immediately. John the Baptist might have known Jesus earlier, but understanding what he was took a different kind of vision." And now I'm going to read today's gospel in full, chapter 1 from John, verses 29 to 34. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday, March 6th, is to see if you can spot Jesus walking around your neighborhood. The commentary for Friday, March 7th, begins with a passage from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verses 12. "If you heed these ordinances by diligently observing them, the Lord your God will maintain with you the covenant loyalty that he swore to your ancestors." There are more ideas than there are good ideas. This is one of many phrases I learned from one of the best employers I've ever had, For several years, I worked with a small-town pharmacist who was kind enough to offer me a job. Working late into the night with him taught me so much about being an adult. God gave the law for abundant life. It is a collection of best practices that ensure righteousness and justice. We must remember that the God we serve is the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy, as we pray in the prayer for humble access. Part of that mercy is helping us to see which of our ideas are good and which are best avoided. When we assume that God leads us in our best interests, perhaps that makes it easier to follow our Good Shepherd to green pastures. And now I'm going to read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. And I'm also going to read from today's gospel, from John, chapter 1, verses 35-42. First, Deuteronomy. If you heed these ordinances by diligently observing them, the Lord your God will maintain with you the covenant loyalty that he swore to your ancestors. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock, in the land that he swore to your ancestors to give you. You shall be the most blessed of peoples, with neither sterility nor barrenness among you or your livestock. The Lord will turn away from you every illness, all the dread diseases of Egypt that you experienced. He will not inflict on you, but he will lay them on all who hate you. You shall devour all the peoples that the Lord your God is giving over to you, showing them no pity. You shall not serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. Now today's gospel from John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. The next day John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. And the moving forward statement for this Friday, March the 2nd, is to listen for the wisdom of God in the voices of others. The commentary for Saturday, March 8th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 50. Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." The next to last night of our honeymoon, we camped at Escalante National Monument in Utah. It was a rare opportunity to be far enough out into the wilderness that we were free of light pollution. Plus, I am a gigantic space nerd. After we ate our rehydrated camp meal and the fire had died to embers, my wife crawled into the tent and I spread a blanket out on the ground. I spent the next several hours ecstatically contemplating the cosmos and delighting in the near presence of God. Unexpectedly, this night became a time of worship and adoration of the God of creation. Like Nathaniel, we might wonder where we will see God's glory revealed next. God is often revealed in the small domestic miracles we dismiss as ordinary. When we keep our eyes and hearts open and search for God, we need not wonder when we discover God. First, I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51 for this day, and then I will read from the book of Titus, chapter 3. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And now I'm going to read from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Spirit. This Holy Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions, since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas to you, or Titius, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Make every effort to send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they lack nothing. And let people learn to devote themselves to good works in order to meet urgent needs, so that they may not be unproductive. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with all of you." And the moving forward suggestion for this day is to watch for the domestic miracles. Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, March 9th, the first Sunday in Lent. It begins with a passage from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yesterday, I wrote of domestic miracles, those small wonders we often dismiss as commonplace. One of these is the fact that God dwells within the hearts of the faithful. Perhaps we don't outright dismiss it, but rather take this for granted. When the Holy Spirit came to make a home with us, our hearts and lives became God's dwelling place. Some part of God resides with us. God is our God, and we are God's people. Does this astound? Does this surprise? Does this delight? Are we paying attention to God? Who is closer than our next breath? And now I'm going to read from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8b through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the moving forward suggestion for this Sunday, March 9th, feel the breath and know that God is even closer than that. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.